Join with me as we pray and ask the Holy Spirit to lead us this morning. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for your word. Lord, your word that is light unto our path. Your word that gives life. Your word that is life. Lord, help us to know it for ourselves, not just something that we hear about, but something that we experience for ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we come and look at the scripture, I was thinking about, you know, our mission statement is how we love God and love people is to discover, right, who God is, who I am, and who we are, that we make a commitment to grow in our faith and in relationship and in obedience. And then in that, the result is that we have an impact on the people around us. It's an impact and a change for ourselves, an impact of people that we get to encourage and bring the gospel to, whether it's through communion or just a conversation that we get to listen to and respond to what's going on in their lives. I was thinking about it. Sometimes we come to the Bible or to Bible studies or reading, or then we come for information because we want to know the three steps to an amazing life. But I was thinking another way to say that word, I want to come for information. Amen. I want that, not just the information that just goes up here, but I want that what I'm learning to be transforming in my heart, to be formative, to be transforming by the renewing of our mind, to be changing that process. And so as we look at Scripture and we've been looking at the seven deadly sins, you know, and sometimes you're like, feel like, you know, just being slapped around. That isn't what this is about. This is about recognizing, unless we're aware of our sin, we won't ever ask for help. Unless we're aware of our sin, we won't say, God, man, I need your redeeming power, Lord. Or I didn't even know that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing that I haven't been trusting you in this area. The goal isn't about shaming, and goal is not about condemnation, because that isn't what Jesus came for, right? I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save the world. And so we look at Scripture so that we can learn from it. It's like, what is going on? Wow, I didn't even think about that. And so as we look at Proverbs, this series that we've been going through, this book of wisdom, we've been focusing on knowing the heart. And I think of Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything we do flows from our heart. It's like our motivations, what we're affectionate about, our priorities, what we sacrifice, willing to step away from to do. We've looked at anger, envy, gluttony, pride. And today, we're going to look at sloth. We're going to discover what this little guy's about. Aww. That is the goofiest animal known for its slowness and spending the most of its life hanging upside down in the rainforest. But that's not the sloth we're talking about this morning. Well, the sloth we're talking about is a reluctance to work or make an effort. Another word for sloth is laziness. Laziness. As we look at laziness, there's eight things that we're going to briefly talk about that are areas that slothfulness or laziness impacts that maybe you hadn't thought of. It's more than just working hard. We'll see what we mean. First of all, sloth doesn't love things. Proverbs 21:25-26. The craving of a sluggard will be the death of him, because his hands refuse to work. All day long he craves for more, but the righteous give without sparing. Cravings, right? That intense, urgent, abnormal desire or longing for something. And so they crave. The sluggard craves something. What does he crave? He craves the ease of life. He craves just rest and comfort. We just need to have lots of free time to enjoy. The problem is with slothfulness is they love that ease more than they do life. All those things that God has that He's given for us to enjoy. There's a saying that the pain that we're experiencing has to be greater than the pain of change. So you have to come to the point where it's like, I don't want this anymore, before we're willing to step in and make a change and start to consider something else. And so part of I pray the Holy Spirit to bring some pain to us today. So they're like, I hate this. I recognize this is deadly to my soul, deadly to my life. Lord, would you come and change me so that whatever I'm fearful of, whatever I am overwhelmed by, that I will be willing to step into those things. The problem is that lazy people do not love life enough to work to enjoy everything that God has given. Relationship, love His joy, love Jesus enough to say, I'm not going to submit to my incapacity to engage because I want to pursue the Lord. This quote is from Dorothy Sayers. The sin of sloth believes in nothing, cares for nothing, seeks to know nothing, interferes with nothing, enjoys nothing, loves nothing, hates nothing, finds purpose in nothing, lives for nothing, and only remains alive because there's nothing it would die for. That's a profound, hurtful statement, isn't it? But if you think about it, that's really what laziness is. Have you ever talked to people and said, when are you going to start doing something? When are you going to engage in the stuff that you know you should be doing? What is stopping you? What is keeping you from that? And this verse talks about, in contrast, the righteous not only have a return for their hard work, they give without sparing. I just think about as you work the work that God's given you, that He fills your cup up. So there's two things. One is there's a walking with the Lord to overflow, right? More than you need. But He also gives enough for the moment. To trust Him is like, you know what? I don't have to worry about it. I can give it away because I know God's going to cover me. There's a blessing in engaging and not being lazy, that we can trust God. The joy of giving that comes from hard work is a sacrifice that you are willing to make. Jesus in Hebrews 12:2 highlights Jesus, the pioneer of our and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Aren't you glad Jesus was willing to do a hard thing? That He didn't look for the easy way out? Well, you see His prayer in the garden, right? He said, man, if there's any other way, Lord, may it pass from me. If there's a plan B, man, if we can do this another way. Because He did not want to go to the cross. It was no fun. But why did He do it? For the joy set for them, the result of it, our salvation, our ability to be able to be welcome and adopted into God's family, Jesus said, man, I'm doing this for them. I don't want to do this hard thing, but I'm doing it because I see the joy on the other side of it. And that's, as you see and deal with our laziness and our slothfulness, to say, what is it that's keeping me do? Can I see the benefit so much bigger than not doing anything? And we'll talk about the areas that we will be confronted with. My question is, do you work out of duty, or do you work out of a way to gain and serve the things that God has given you to steward? In other words, you can just go through the motions and miss the whole point. You can work and do hard things and do stuff and think that you're a hard worker doing things, but you're not doing it in a way that honors God. Saying, do it because you love me. Do it because you love the people that you're serving. Do those projects or assignments or phone calls because you care about. It isn't just about doing hard things, because there's people that can do really hard things. They can lay their lives down and they go through pain that I never could endure. But their motivation is just part of their temperament. The motivation that God wants is for that we would see those hard things for the joy set on the other side of it. That we would love people and be stewards of the opportunities God has given. Not only does sloth doesn't love things, sloth doesn't finish things. Proverbs 12, 27 and chapter 19, verse 24. The lazy do not roast any game, but the diligent feed on the riches of the hunt. A sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He will not even bring it back to his mouth. When we think of laziness, sometimes we think of is that it's lacking self-motivation, you know, not being a self-starter. But laziness or slothfulness is also reflected in people who don't finish a project. Anybody have projects in their garage or in the craft room that you've started and haven't finished? Those classes that you went back to school and you got 2 years into it and then stopped? Those things that you didn't finish. Maybe it's because you lose interest quickly. Maybe it's because it's harder than you thought. It's like the idea was really good and then I started doing it. I told you about the time I took piano lessons from my friend who was really good. We lasted about a month because he was an amazing piano player, but I discovered after a month that you have to practice every week. I told him, I said, I'm sorry, Ken. He said, man, he said, but I'm not wired for this. I got my fingers, I was doing my scales, and it just wasn't sounding quite as like I thought it should have sounded. I wasn't willing to do that hard work of it. Talk about, you know, we can make plans, but maybe we don't count the cost to them. It's talk about those things that we don't finish. It's taking the sluggard has opportunity just like everybody else, but never gets to enjoy the result of the hunt. Right? I mean, the picture of it is like this hardworking guy. He sees the hunt just like the sluggard does, but then he goes on the hard work. Quite honestly, talking about that. I don't hunt. I hunted once, and you cannot believe all the hiking through the bush that you have to do. I was like, I did not love hunting. I'm like, I am friends with the guys who hunt, and if they want to give me some elk and, you know, whatever, I'm happy to make some stew or burgers out of whatever, but that it just ain't worth it to me. That's a lot of work. Well, guess what I don't enjoy? I don't get to enjoy the rugged country and the beauty of God's creation like they do. You know, those things that there's a trade-off. But what we do and pursue the finish is recognizing that finishing is where we get to enjoy the fruit of it. The fruit of those things that we've begun. I just think about Jesus again and his willingness to press through hard things. We see it again in John 13:1. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him. We talked about that garden in that Passover meal. Had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them, what? To the end. He finished well. Right? That's the last thing he said on the cross. What did he say? It is finished. That he came to do what he's going to do. And you can't enjoy the fruit of being finished unless you finish. You can't enjoy the fruit of the hunt unless you're willing to climb those bushes. I've talked to those guys. They love the result. They don't necessarily love getting scraped up and getting poison oak or whatever. They love the result. They're like, this is worth it. They love the fellowship. They love the camaraderie, love getting away. Is there a project you haven't been able to finish? Ask the Holy Spirit to give you a love for the people and the result and that will happen and benefit people. To motivate you to do the things that God, that you've started, those good things that you started, the things that you haven't, weren't the good things you started, would you just donate those? Get those out of your house. I call that overhead. It's clutter and it distracts us, right? Because every time you look at it, you feel guilty. And ask yourself, am I supposed to finish that? If you're supposed to finish it, ask the Lord to give you strength to finish it. If the Lord says, you know, you need to let go of that, dude. You're never going to be that weight set that's in the corner there. You're never going to be Mr. Muscle America, okay? Give it away. You need to ease up and free yourself from overhead, as it just drags us down. I have enough. It's enough work, enough attention of our heart to pay attention to what God's called us to, let alone the stuff God hasn't called us to. It will fully engage your life and your heart and your motivation and your energy and your prayer life and your humility if you pay attention to what God's called you to. And in that place that we deal with our laziness. Sloth also doesn't face things. Proverbs 26, verses 13 to 16. A sluggard says, there's a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. As the door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. A sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He's too busy, too lazy to bring it back up to his mouth. A sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven people who answer discreetly. The sluggard over-exaggerates dangers. It says, not today, man. It's not going to work out today. I'm not lazy. I'm not my best in the morning. Or, I'm a realist. I'm a realist. I just don't want to waste my time doing something that might not turn out right, that's not successful. Right? Those things that all the excuses that come up that keep people from pressing into hard things. How many excuses can we come up with? It's unending. When you don't want to do something, there's a reason for it, right? If you don't want to do it now and it's better tomorrow, there's a reason for it. And nobody can argue with you, right? Because that's your reason. But it's obvious to everybody else, right, but the sluggard, that they are deceived. It's like, you know, it's those things that always have an excuse not to do something. You know, that those opportunities quit coming because they've said no every time, saying they want to do something, but yet when asked, never step into responding. They cannot face things. They live in denial. They can't even face what they've become. Somebody who is lazy, who doesn't press in to hard things. What are your go-to excuses when you simply don't want to do hard things? We all got hard things, don't we? Things that we don't want to do. Things that we're worried about the fallout of it. Somebody not liking us. Something that will have a consequence, and so we just put it off and we don't do it. Sloth also doesn't notice things. Proverbs 20, verse 4, sluggards do not plow in season, so at harvest time they look but find nothing. In an agricultural economy, right, it's you plant in the springtime and the rain comes and before fall comes the winter, you harvest, right? That old saying, right? Make hay while the sun is shining, right? Is being able to see the opportunity and notice things. The problem is the sluggard doesn't recognize opportunity. It doesn't recognize when the doors open. I think about, you know, the sluggard that's lazy person that says, you know what, I really want a job, but I already made plans with my friends. It's like, are you kidding me? They can't even see, they can't even notice that this is an opportunity for you to have a job. But yet you're telling me this plans with your friends more important than that? They can't even see the opportunity. Say, well, that's really not the job I want. Well, dude, get a job. Start with something. It may not. Part of the trusting God is pressing into those hard things so that the doors open down the road, because God is about changing our hearts. And the job is not a heart problem. Obedience is the heart problem. To be able to step into things and notice opportunity. Lazy hearts fail to submit to seasons that the Lord has ordained for our lives. There's a book in the Bible, Ecclesiastes, right? Famously, you see posters and all kinds of stuff, Hobby Lobby, whatever, that quote Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 6 to 7. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heavens, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear down and a time to mend. Part of being engaged in fighting against laziness is recognizing seasons and stepping into the seasons that God has called you to, so that opportunities don't pass by. Noticing those opportunities. Have there been opportunities that you have missed? The follow-up question that is, why? Why have you missed them? Because that's a place of transformation, right? This isn't like, shame on you, shame on you. It's like, hey, how many of you in your room, in this room, online too, you can raise your hand. How many of you have struggled completing something that you've started? Right? Every person. So this isn't about, well, it starts. Sin recognition is a start, right? Awareness. If you're not aware, you can't do anything about it. But the point is not, this isn't about shame and condemn, but it's about, okay, Lord, there's an area of my heart that you need to change. What is it that's stopping me? What is it that's kept me from doing those things? And that's the place of information that God wants to do in our hearts. Sloth destroys. Proverbs 18, verse 9. One who is slack in their work is brother to one who destroys. Laziness destroys. It hurts everybody around you. Everybody been on a project with a team, and there's that one guy that nobody wants on their team. You're like, hey, we'll go with one man short before we even have that guy on our team. Why? Because he slows everybody down. He's a morality wrecker. As you come together and try to accomplish something, you're like, dude, he's like, I don't like doing that though. It's like, and we love it doing it? It isn't about what you love to do. It's there's a job to do, and we press through. We'll get done sooner. It'll be done well. We'll get to enjoy the camaraderie and the result. Those things that we do to be engaged in a community that teams together. The lazy person is looking for the easiest job that gets paid the most. They're focused on their own comfort, not the benefit of being a part of a team and being a contributor. Physical inactivity in the U.S. is estimated by a Lancet Journal article at $27.8 billion a year. I'm talking about. That's just physical inactivity. So you can imagine there's probably a lot of medical issues that come with that. But we think about laziness being costly. Laziness sinks dreams, right? The thing that you hope to do because of laziness, you will never do. Laziness damages health. It damages with obesity, leading cause of obesity, diabetes, depression. You know, I know that when I am feeling down or hopeless, the best thing I can do is go do something physical. I remember our kids, if they would get they would be unsettled and not being able to focus, say, hey, go run around the house a couple of times. And it's just changing the pumping of the blood through their body, and hopefully some of it got to their brain. They were able to accomplish some things that they couldn't before. Laziness inhibits relationships. When one half is not willing to pull their weight, relationship stagnates careers because you avoid challenges. Laziness misses opportunities, or you don't get to learn and live life to the fullest. Laziness destroys self-confidence because we stop experiencing successes. It just, I can't think of the things that we're willing and realize we're good at started with an opportunity that you took, that you had no idea you were going to be good at, but you took the risk. It's like, I need to get this done. I'm going to try this. And you do it. It's like, oh, this isn't so bad. You know, and then you get on YouTube and figure out a couple things, or maybe you call a friend and figure out how to do it, and you get better at it. And you would never experience that if you didn't risk to take those steps. And laziness suffocates ambition by creating a negative feedback, and then we begin to believe that negative feedback as we don't try those things. It's reverse. There's two things that God says: you're either for me or you're against me. There is no neutral ground. We step into the river of life and it is flowing downhill. Just, we have to fight to just maintain. As we do life, that we would recognize that it, as we try things, it creates new ideas that encourage us. For every idea we don't try, it has its place of discouragement and not even freeing us the ability to think of new things. They say that there is, I love that we talk about business philosophy, is success is not measured by failure. Success is measured, or should say failure is measured by not trying. You think about all the things that have been medical and ideas that happen, and even in your own life, that you, it took experience and saying, hey, this doesn't work, or man, that worked, but not as well as I want. Let me do this. That we step into, what is the cause of laziness? Is it motivation? Is it vision? Is it fear? Is it self-doubt? Is it ignorance? Okay, you know, you can, in the natural, you could say, oh yeah, it's one of those. But I'd say more importantly, I love one of the comments I read by somebody. They described people who are lazy. The way we battle lazy is every step of action is like bringing light to the situation. Laziness is darkness. So how we bring light is we make a move and step. And every move that we make in action to deal with those things that we've put off brings light to a situation, bring hope. I love this. As I thought about it, that John 8:12, Jesus said, what? I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. As we walk in those decisions, like, Jesus, where are you leading? Because when we follow Jesus, it will take us into action, not inaction. It'll take us, it doesn't mean that we're, you know, always doing something, but we're doing what God calls us to do. Because for people who are lazy, isn't not about working hard, okay? It's about being obedient to the Lord, because sometimes we can use work and assignments as an excuse not to deal with hard stuff in life. You know, how many marriages are on the rocks because daddy won't come home from work when work is done? That he takes every overtime shift because I'm providing for my family, when really he doesn't want to come home and deal with loving his kid and helping him with his homework. Those things, we can be busy and it even be a sign of laziness, because we're not doing what God has called us to do, and we're avoiding things. Sloth is progressive. Proverbs 19:15, laziness brings on deep sleep and the shiftless go hungry. When you ignore broken things, they don't get better. Right? You ignore, they fall apart. You have to pay attention to those things. Your ability to work hard will decline with laziness. Right? You don't use it, you what? You lose it. Laziness is that downward spiral, and it gets worse. It's like the things you used to be able to do in high school. You know, maybe you're in college and you were like stellar runner and your times are that, you know, and you haven't run since. I always crack up at the guys who don't realize that things have declined and they go out to play basketball or baseball, and the first time they take off running towards first base, they pull the hammy and they go down to the ground. Dude, you're 35 or 40 years old now and you haven't run since you're 22. It's like, what did you think was going to happen? Things decline when we don't take care of them, when we don't pay attention and continue that process. The decline happens in attitudes. It happens in habits. It happens in our commitments to friendship. When you don't follow up and stay committed to the things that you said you're going to do or did caring, you decline in your ability to make those phone calls. They get more and more uncomfortable. They're like, oh, I haven't done it this far. It's terrible to start. I'll just leave it go again. It gets harder and harder, that decline. As we think of the word on the flip side, there's a word called sanctification. It's God's supernatural process that brings spiritual maturity to our lives. That also is a process. You don't immediately get sanctified, righteous. You step towards and obedient to the Lord, and in that process, you're changed. You grow. You become a new person. You become aware of new problems and new issues. Ephesians 4:22-24, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. To engage, you leave something go, it's just going to get worse. Pay attention to your walk with God and allow Him to sanctify you and grow you so that there's a different kind of progressiveness that happens, not laziness, but being sanctified, becoming like Christ. I challenge us, ask a close friend, am I more unselfish, more disciplined, more at peace than I was? Have those kind of friends that you can ask those deep questions to. Ones that are not afraid of the fallout of your answer. People to say, am I changing? Am I winding up, being sanctified, or am I winding down, becoming worse? There's nothing sweeter than to see God's Spirit move and change us. Sloth gives no rest, no real rest. Proverbs 15:19, the way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. Laziness ultimately actually leads to more work, not less work. In that process I talked about, those things you ignore, does it get easier to do those things? No, it gets harder to do those things. It's painful when we don't walk in the things God has called us to do. There's some serious thorns. I mean, some are imagined, but some are real. It's hard to begin to do things that you haven't done before. But the reality is there's no rest on that side. Things are getting worse, not better. That not doing anything isn't going to result in fulfillment or happiness or change. It's interesting here, laziness is not contrasted with hard work here. It's contrasted with the upright, righteous. Because laziness, is, as we talk about sloth in the Bible, is not a temperament issue. Okay? We're not talking about temperament, because some of us are super chill. My wife is chill, but she is a very hard worker. She has difficulties. She's a people person. She will allow our grandkids, and when she did with our kids, to make a mess in the kitchen side by side with them. You know, I'm like, the goal is here. Let's just make this thing. I'm like, no, we're allowing our kids to grow and our grandkids to enjoy life and experience those things. Laziness is not a temperament issue, but a moral failing. When we talk about sloth, it's sin. It's a moral issue. It's not being obedient to who God called you to be and how to live out your life. So I know all those excuses. You're like, hey, I'm just not wired that way. It's not how you're wired issue. It's about an obedient issue to what God's called you to finish, what He's called you to engage in, what has He called you to notice. Where have you seen laziness in your life lead to more pain or work? I see it all the time in marriages, right? If you don't take care and do the hard work back here in year one, year seven comes and there's some real pain there. You don't take care of it in the first marriage, it's there for the second marriage. Those things, what are we looking for? And I'll finish this last description, last area, the dignity of work. Proverbs 27, chapter 27, verse 18. The one who guards a fig tree will eat its fruit, and whoever protects their master will be honored. In some cultures, and I included when I went to Guatemala, education is equated with not doing manual labor. Okay? And I remember going on a mission trip, and there was a young pastor, and we had a mission team with some adults and a lot of youth, and we're like making ready for a new foundation and all the work that went into that, digging ditches, mixing concrete, doing. And the young pastor was sitting over there at the table. And I said to one of the other pastors, I said, what's that about? He says, he's a young pastor. And it bothered me. I was like, what in the world? It isn't who God is. God formed the world with His hands. He didn't mind getting dirty. Work is not the result of sin. Okay? God works. Always. Work is good. Work is good. Jesus, did He come as a privileged guy who got to just point His finger and say, hey, do this, do that, do this? No, He came as a carpenter, working with His hands. He made stuff. He earned a living. Look at Paul. He said, man, not to be a burden on you. I worked, man. I provided so that you could have the gospel free of charge. The dignity of work. And I think about the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity, of who God is. The Holy Spirit gets and works in ugly, broken, messy hearts. The Holy Spirit doesn't say, ooh, I don't want to touch that. Oh, okay, do you have some gloves? It's like, oh, here, do you have any tools that we can just... No. The Holy Spirit gets it there and says, hey, there's a mess here. There's a mess that I need to touch, that I care about. In that place, I remember a friend, the ultimate love is a mom that cleans up their kids' throw up and other bodily fluids. That is the Holy Spirit, who comes and says, I'm engaged and I love and care about you. And I'm willing to get dirty. There's a dignity about it, of doing work. Laziness doesn't love things. It doesn't finish. It doesn't face things. And it doesn't notice. Sin is costly. It is more costly than we recognize. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for myself and I pray for my brothers and sisters. Lord, would you help us not be overwhelmed by the problem? Oh, that's Jesus, why you died on the cross. That was not an understatement. That was an overstatement. That sin kills and destroys and robs life. Lord, I pray that you would highlight those things as we think about, maybe we didn't think of ourselves as lazy. I certainly didn't. But as I recognize where laziness shows up, I'm like, wow, I got some laziness issues that I need to press into, that I need to be obedient in, that I need to recognize that there's some things that you've called me into that I need to finish. There's some things that I need to notice as opportunities that I have ignored because I'm busy doing something else. Lord, I pray whatever's going on in this room, whatever's going on online, Lord, you would highlight by your Holy Spirit that there would be some inward formation. By the power of your Holy Spirit, help us recognize and help us call out and be empowered by your Holy Spirit to press through fear, press through discouragement, press through difficulty, to do the things you call to, knowing that the joy on the other side of that is so much greater than the pain that we're experiencing today. Lord, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.